Now joined by Avery Johnson here at K-State Online, since he was probably one of the three most sought-after players last week in Frisco. Him, Sam Levitt, I would throw up there, and then the third, probably debatable, Sawyer Robertson seemed to be a pretty popular guy. Quarterback's always a big deal, and now getting ready to enter his second season as the starting quarterback at K-State. I'll start with an easy question for you, Avery. Who's going to be the best quarterback in the Big 12 this season?
I have to say myself, man.
Okay, good. That was a trick question. So the answer was either you say yourself or you try to be humble and not say a name at all. So I think you answered that properly. This one will actually be an easy and simple one that I'll start with because I'm always in tune with uniforms and stuff like that. Why do you always wear a turtleneck under your jersey?
I like the way it looks. I think it just looks cool. That's pretty much it. So we got new turtlenecks this upcoming season. So they're a little higher. They go a little higher on the neck. The last year's ones were kind of low. So I've worn it since high school, though. I like the look since high school, and I kind of just ran with it.
The turtleneck is a really old school look. I'll also give you I don't know if this is an easier question, but what is the biggest difference between Matt Wells and Connor Riley as your offensive coordinator?
I think they're both great coordinators. They're just kind of different minded, I guess. I'd say me and Coach Wells are a lot more like minded. Just we spent more time together, and we're always in the room together. So I loved Coach Riles because he always took my opinion on stuff. He got my opinion on third downs and things like that. And Coach Wells does the same. I think they just might have a different way of calling the game. Everybody's unique in their own ways, but they both have their things that they're great at. So I'm just excited to see what Coach Wells brings and calls for us this upcoming season.
If you look at 2024 for yourself and you had to, say if you played at 1% of your ability, that's the worst, and you played to 100% of your abilities, that's the best. Where would you put yourself and kind of grade your season last year?
I would say probably like 70%. I showed flashes and here and there where it could look like I was playing at my best. And I feel like I had so much growing to do last year, and so many things I look back on that I can learn from and just mistakes that I won't make again coming into this next season, and just looking to mature and grow up as a quarterback I took full advantage of this off season, growing as a leader and working on things I needed to get better at so that I could come out and be the best version of myself each week and win a bunch of football games.
You talk about that you showed the flashes last year. What is the one play that you think that you were the most proud of from last season?
Really just as the season went on, not letting little mistakes get to me, being able to bounce back from stuff like that. Just early on in that BYU game, I feel like I was just putting a lot of pressure on myself early in the year. And in that BYU game, mistakes early, wasn't able to shake them off quite as easily. And then you kind of just see the next week in Oklahoma State where I throw a pick early and don't let it get to me mentally and go out and finish the game and have probably my best week of the season. So growing in that aspect of it, and I think I just grew mentally and seeing more and more defenses and understanding our offense more, and just really want to be able to show that growth more coming up this year and being able to take what the defense gives me and really just show that I can be a lot better post-snap than I was a year prior.
On the flip side of that, is there a specific play from last year that you're least proud of, or you look back on and you say, that's the one that I would want back, and you've already kind of determined how to correct whatever caused the problem there?
Not necessarily. I mean, there's a bunch of plays I want back, and whether it's a mechanical issue and sometimes the ball just maybe got away from me that I'd want back, or a couple of throws I missed here or there. I mean, I feel like there's a couple plays every game that you would want back. So I can't say I could just pinpoint one thing, but definitely just trying my best to prevent those minor errors here or there, or some plays where I'd maybe try to do too much so that we don't show that like negative effect or have that negative outcome this upcoming season.
With the negative and unfortunate aspect to talk about here, through your eyes, what happened in November last year with the 1-3 stretch, lost to Houston, Arizona State, and Iowa State with the win to Cincinnati mixed in there? What do you kind of have evaluated where you think things went wrong for yourself and the team, and what is the driving factor from that stretch?
Yeah, I think big picture, when we're in the driver's seat, and I think we just took the Houston game too lightly. I think that we should know by now that in this conference, any given Saturday, any team could beat any other team. So I think we took that Houston game. We didn't take it as serious as we needed to, and they came out and beat us. And then the Arizona State game, it was a really big matchup with Arizona State too, and I think we just pressed a little bit too hard coming off the Houston game. And just wanted to prove that we could go out there and dominate and bounce back with a really good game offensively versus Cincinnati. Kind of just let loose a little bit. And I feel like at that point, it's just all you can do because you're not in the driver's seat for the Big 12 championship anymore. And then that Iowa State game, your Big 12 chances are kind of taken away. So you try to rally the best you can and spoil Iowa State season, but just had too many errors and shot ourselves in the foot. And then really just those last four games, I just feel like my play just has to be better. Try to elevate and encourage and bring everybody else along with me so that we can go out and finish the game with four, or finish the season with four wins. And then our outcome of the season looks a lot different.
Who are two players on this team right now, one on offense, one on defense, that aren't being talked about enough as people that are really looking to break out for this season?
I'd say Jerron Tibbs on offense. That's a guy I said a lot last week, and a guy that had a really good spring. And then defensively, I'd say Ryan Davis had a really good spring as well, and he's just going to help out our already deep group of edge rushers that we have. And we have a bunch of guys that can rotate and are going to play a lot of the minutes for us. But Ryan Davis looked really good in the spring as well.
To, you know, I asked you the negatives about the end of last season. You guys ended on a positive with the comeback against Rutgers. Do you have any specific memories from that game? And is that one of the crazier ones that you've played in your football career?
Yeah, it was insane because, same with that Rutgers game, I felt like I was shooting. I felt like I was shooting ourselves in the foot a bunch of times because, like, even that first drive, we should have scored that first. There should have been a touchdown in that first drive, and I underthrew Dylan. And then we had one. I think it was right before halftime where I overthrew him on a deep ball, and I was just like, "My bad." Like, I just told Dylan, I was like, "You could have like five or six touchdowns this game if I was just complete a couple more passes to you," but. Just things like that too, like on this upcoming year, is like when you do get opportunities, the margin of error is so small, and the difference between winning and losing is so small, so that you just have to be a lot more. I have to be a lot more on my A game in this upcoming season, and I know I'm not going to make every throw. I'm going to overthrow deep balls this year, or underthrow them, or whatever it might be, but just can't miss on stuff like that because those are plays that could change the whole trajectory of the game, and plays that we definitely need if we're going to want to take that jump and win a Big 12 championship this year. So improving my game, but it was definitely a super fun game being able to come back like that and knowing that we have that type of fight in us and being able to finish our season on a high note, because I don't think it was anything Rutgers was doing to stop us offensively. I think it was just kind of us stopping ourselves. And that's just something that we've kind of learned where sometimes when we get in our own way, we hurt ourselves more than the other team might be hurting us in the game.
Here's a fun one for you. So you're racing the defense in a 4x100 on K-State, and they have their own guys. Who are the four guys or the three other guys that you're picking with you to race the defense?
Offensively?
Yes.
It'd be Dylan, Jace. Who's the other fastest offensive player? Gosh, our fourth. I'm trying to think. Probably Adonis Moyes, the freshman from Florida.
I'll ask you one more kind of on the serious side of things. When it comes to making improvements off of last year to this coming year, was there anything that immediately clicked after the season ended and you immediately realized, oh, well, if I just do this, I can get a little bit better here, a little bit better there? Because I always think of, I use the analogy for stuff like this. I played golf in high school, and the second I graduated from high school, I became like five shots better because I just quit playing like an idiot. And I was like, man, if I had just thought of this sooner, I would have been a better golfer early on in my life. So like, is there anything with you that season ends and you're sitting there going, I could do this better. You're at the Manning Passing Academy. So is there something that you learned from other guys there that you're like, oh, that makes total sense. What would it be that you've improved upon, and what was kind of the thing that turned the light on for those improvements this offseason?
Yeah, I think after the season ends, just like mentally just telling myself, like, I don't have to put the weight of the world on my shoulders. I don't have to put so much pressure on myself to where that I'm tense out there and I can't play free, because whenever I do play free and I play loose, then I'm 10 times better of a quarterback. And then really just understanding I don't have to score a touchdown every time the ball is snapped. I don't have to always make the big play, taking a check down, running for a first down, stuff like that. I feel like a lot of times last year I was too complacent as a runner, when my running ability and being able to make plays off schedule is what makes me such a great quarterback. So really just playing within myself and finding my strengths and what I do best, and not playing to any other narrative or who the media, what type of quarterback the media wants me to be. So I feel like once I kind of figure that stuff out, I was able to play with more within myself this spring. And I felt way better as a quarterback. And then just not trying to work on 10 things this offseason, 10 things I can get better at, finding one or two things. Like my deep ball, or that's one thing I really wanted to improve on, and pocket presence and pocket movement, so that it'll show and I can showcase that this upcoming fall. Because when you try to work on 10 things, you only get a little bit better at all 10 of them. But when you can really hone in on one thing, then it can really elevate your game and take it to the next level.
All right, I'm going to rapid fire a couple of things at you now. We crowdsourced some questions from the members of our message board. The first one is from a guy who goes by Ben Sennett Enjoyer. What is your favorite or toughest road experience in your career to this point?
Favorite was Tech my freshman year, just with that whole performance. And then it was I know we lost the Missouri game, but that environment was crazy. They threw like tortillas. It was just like a weird thing. It was a cool experience for me to be a part of, though, and being able to go to an away game and silence the crowd like that was pretty cool. The toughest was BYU. That was the loudest stadium I've ever played in, and played at Texas my freshman year, and Missouri, and both of those places didn't even stack up to BYU. And I think BYU has half the amount of capacity as Texas does, and it was just roaring. Like, we had so many three or four false starts just off of guys not being able to hear me. So it was insane.
Which defensive player gives you the most struggles in practice?
Wesley Fair. my guy from Wichita. He's probably picked me off double the amount of times of anybody else combined on the defensive side of the ball. And I would say definitely him, or if we're going to talk defensive line, probably Toby or Chidi. He claims 10 sacks of practice, but I'm like, Toby, if this was a live game, like, it's not a sack, you're not sacking me. But he likes to claim that he sacked me four or five times after every practice, but he definitely gets back there every once in a while, but I can't give him all that credit.
That was from LGWKSU. Last one from the fans. El Calf asks, when your K-State career is done, what will you need to have achieved to be at peace with it and view it as a success? That's kind of a deep question by him.
Yeah. Really, Big 12 championship is where I'm setting our eyes right now. And obviously, we know what comes with that. We win a Big 12 championship. We get to compete for a national championship. So I think we just got to start with putting our eyes on that Big 12 championship and working towards that. And then all of the all our individual accolades as a team will come along with it. But just being able to be in attendance my senior year of high school whenever they did win that Big 12 championship, and just seeing the amount of excitement it brought to the fans and to the team and the community, I definitely want to be able to help bring that back to the city of Manhattan.
All right, this is our little game we have prepared for you. We're going to show you pictures of former players. We're going to see if you can name them. First one is this guy right here.
DK.
Okay. We'll go the second one, another K-State quarterback legend.
Michael Bishop.
Okay, yeah. Let's flip over. Let's go to basketball real quick.
Michael Beasley.
Okay. This one might be a little tougher. You probably were only like 5 years old when he won this one in Lawrence. Do you know who this is?
No idea.
That is Cartier Martin, my favorite K-State basketball player of all time. We'll go back to football. Do you know who this is?
What position?
Kicker.
No.
Ring of Honor member Martin Gramatica. He holds the longest record in college football for a field goal without a tee. Do you know who this K-State football player is?
Like Joe Hall.
That is Joe Hall. All right, let's. This man, he beat K-State in 1989, Bill Snyder's first state season. Do you know who this is?
Is that Coach Kleiman?
That is Chris Kleiman, your head football coach right there. Do you know who this man is? Also played against.
Coach Malone.
Yes, and then this guy right here, another former Big 12 star.
I have no idea who that is.
That would be your guys' newest offensive line coach, Brian Lepak.
That's Coach Lepak?
Allegedly, unless USA Today wildly messed up their attribution on their website. But he did wear number 51 at OU. So
I didn't know he played at OU. I thought he played at Tulsa.
I think he was at both, but this appears to be after a kicker made a field goal, so he's probably on special teams in the Fiesta Bowl. I assume because he's given, you know, the kick is good in hands, but
yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna have to talk to him about that one.
All right, well, there you go. That's what we had for you today, and we appreciate you joining us. I guess one final one. I think this might be a fun way to go out. I know football guys always want to play basketball, and the basketball guys always want to do other things. Chemistry Powercat wanted to know, if you had to scrimmage the basketball team with your football teammates, who is in your starting five? Because you obviously were a great basketball player in high school. Are there any other guys that you would want out there with you?
Okay, I'm going to go me, Chidi, Dylan Duff, Lincoln. Who else? Maybe Zayshon Rich. That's my. I haven't been to the rec in probably a year and a half, 2 years. I haven't been to the rec since like my freshman year. I went probably a year ago. A lot of the guys still go to the rec, but so I haven't really seen. That's just basically what I'm going off recent memory or what I've seen on social media. So that's what I'd say my five would be.
Sounds like a strong starting five right there. What have your early impressions been of Lincoln Cure? And then we'll let you get out of here.
Yeah, dude's going to be something. I think he's going to live up to all the hype. Talented, real fluid route runner. Dude's got super athletic for being 6'5 and the size he is. Continuing to add on weight and just already adding somebody to our already deep tight end room. I definitely think K-State fans have something to be really excited about.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. And thanks for joining us today, Avery.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. We appreciate Avery Johnson joining us after missing out on him at Big 12 Media Days last week, because again, he was one of the more highly sought after people there. Just nonstop tugging in every direction, having to do the national things. So we get to catch up with him now, make up for it, and get some insight, have a little fun as well. And get to, you know, look at some pictures of some former players right there. What were your big takeaways from what he had to say? We got the opportunity to do it last week with the guys that were there and kind of recap the notables from them. But now we get kind of the instant aftermath with Avery Johnson.
Yeah, I think that one of the notables is just the hype for Ryan Davis continues to grow. I mean, that adds to now, I think, literally every player that we've talked to, that he was the first guy that they mentioned. The other thing that I think is a big takeaway is just how focused and determined he was in the offseason. Like, he only saying that he played to 70% of his level was a very honest answer. And it's probably the correct answer, because he did leave a few plays on the field, but was very mature of him to say that he only played like what he thinks is 70% of his full capacity. And that's kind of what we've been talking about all offseason of, like, if you thought the last season was disappointing, like, that was probably his floor. So if he can get to that, like, even 90% range, I think that we're in for a pretty special season from Avery.
Yeah, I think for me, I would pool together a group of things that stood out, and it would start with basically everything he laid out was kind of what you would assume for a first-year starting quarterback, is that a lot of the troubles last season, I think, for him specifically, and then what he talked about, some of the team stuff, derived from inexperience. For him as a starting quarterback, not having gone through it before, maybe even for Connor Riley in some ways as an offensive coordinator, I think that's the benefit you're going to get this year, is he was very complimentary of Connor Riley. Like, I don't think there was anything negative there, but I think you could get the idea that the connection with having your quarterback's coach be your offensive coordinator now is going to improve in some ways. Matt Wells also experienced it calling plays. He's done it more than just, you know, this being his first year. And a lot of the mistakes there, self-inflicted, that he talked about, and, you know, didn't think that they overlooked Houston. And then you lose that game, and so you're pressing and you come out, and there's a lot more emphasis on Arizona State, so you don't just come out and play football. I think they got complacent at times last year, and he seemed to kind of acknowledge that. And I think that the growth of his mindset for that all will help moving forward now, where just, you know, you can't go into a game when you play UCF to restart Big 12 play at home this year. You can't overlook a game like that. If you go on the road and Oklahoma State is 3-7 when you're playing them, you're not going to overlook that game this season. So I think you have that. And yeah, you know, him just saying, yeah, 70% is probably to the level that he played at, I think that should be encouraging for people. And so I just think he's identified where the struggles were last year. He talked a little bit about the mechanical side of it. He's so talented and great, though, that, like, some of the mechanical stuff and what he does, like, it can be out of whack and still be a really, really good player. I do think it's the mindset that has to help a little bit more, and that's why, you know, it was good to remember towards latter parts of last year that it was still his first season as a starting quarterback, and not many of those guys, especially as, you know, a true sophomore, go in there and knock it out of the park immediately. And the guys that do, typically they're like the number one ranked player in the country. And then on top of that, they're playing at places that have insane amounts of talent around them. Like, you could go and talk about what Trevor Lawrence did at Clemson, but, you know, you kind of look at that and go, well, he had a lot of talent there around him. Like, there was a lot of help there. They were coming off of national championships and everything. So I think he just seems to have the right mindset that I've gotten from the entire team when we've talked to Chris Klieman or the players, that they've identified the problems, their focus, the experiences of last year are going to benefit them greatly. And I think that they've gotten enough new twists and tweaks that are going to put them in an even better position than last year. You know, he, I, He seemed comfortable thinking that his weapons were going to be better this season. The improvement of Riley to Wells as to your coordinator, I think, is going to be important. Obviously himself and just so many other areas where I think there's a comfort level and things are in better place right now because it's his second year as the starting quarterback.
Yeah, there's just a quiet confidence, not just with Avery, but like when we've talked to all the players, like they all seem very confident in what they're doing, what they are, and what the season can be. And I think that that's something that should really be pointed out, because I think that the mindset of this team is in the right spot. And we talked about it a little bit last year before the season, because I think that everybody last year thought that K-State was probably going to be competing for the Big 12 title, which they were until it all really fell apart. But everybody thought that it was the schedule, like that's why they got to take real advantage of it last year. Well, we have the benefit of hindsight now, but like the schedule being a lot tougher probably makes it a little bit easier for this year of like, okay, now we've been in like a circumstance like this. What does it look like now? How do we not let BYU or another team score 28 points in the span of 5 minutes? Like, how can we go about this and really make sure that if adversity hits that we are ready and not going to just press and press and press? Because that was kind of the issue last year was, you know, against BYU when things went south, they started to press and it didn't go well. Mm-hmm. We just heard Avery talk about when they lost to Houston, they felt like they really needed to press against Arizona State and it didn't go well. Now you've kind of been through the fire and have seen a lot of things, because again, before the season, I think everybody last year, and they are included in this, thought that the schedule was probably going to be pretty easy. Well, just looking at what they had, they ended up playing one of the toughest Big 12 schedules that you could possibly face. So because of that, this year they're probably a lot more battle tested than I think that we anticipated. And it's another year of they all had that all that experience last year and now translating into this year. So I think that they're probably a lot more poised to win a Big 12 title this year than they were last year.
Yeah. And then I also think it's, you know, beneficial for people to hear him saying that, like, he thinks for him to be successful and to have a satisfactory career at K-State, he wants to win a Big 12 championship. And like, I wouldn't have faulted him if he said other things, or if he kind of pointed out that, like, you know, he wanted to set the touchdown pass record or all that stuff and individual stuff, because that's how a lot of people view things. But I obviously, from the get-go, it's been pretty obvious he's a team-oriented guy, and he knows that success for him is success for K-State, and that's how it'll be valued. And, you know, I do wonder, like, how much of that pressure gets to him, and like last year especially, and now if it's been able to be managed better, because he's probably the first quarterback in K-State history where you look at it and his success truly hinges upon winning the Big 12 or not, and how people are going to view because of the hype that was put into the recruitment, because of the stature of it, and then the fact that, you know, he's a Kansas guy too, like that adds on to it. I jokingly say a lot that, you know, he's the chosen one, but I think that is the way that this thing has kind of been built up and the way that it sets up to be. So I think that we get the idea that he's finding ways to attack the mental side better. Cause to me, I think there are physical things that he knows he needs to improve upon, but most of what he told us today comes across more on the mental side. So it was encouraging to get to hear from him on that. And it just kind of rings along with what the guy said last week in Frisco about the mindset and approach for everybody and all the different groups on this team.
Yeah. And I would even say that like the mental approach is probably what needed to be changed the most. Cause even down to like making sure that your footwork is in like the right position, like that is a more mental thing than a physical thing. And again, he talked about wanting to be better pre and post snap this season. That's all like a mental thing on how you see the game. So
yeah,
I think that there's a real world where the sky truly is the limit. And there has never been a quarterback that has thrown more than 25 touchdowns in a season. I don't know what Avery's ceiling really is. Like, because it could be so high. Like, there is a world where he throws like 35, 36 touchdowns this year. And would you be surprised by that? I wouldn't.
No, it's just, it's going to come down to, you know, the efficiency of the offense and cleaning up some of the mistakes from last year. And you look and there were physical limitations for guys on the offense last year, but mistakes were all, in my eyes, like mental type of deals. And I think this year's team, you've improved the physical attributes of your weapons. And I think that the mental side of it, you would expect with an extra year of experience now, that'll be in a better place. And I think Avery Johnson just is going to have a clearer idea of how to lead them now.
And even we talk about like those mistakes last year on the mental side, there's a few like just physical plays that I can remember where like, it's like, oh, he probably wants that one back. And he talked about the one against Rutgers. I believe he had a two against Rutgers that he like just overthrew by a step or two. We talked about it at the time, but the Tulane game complexion probably changes a lot if he hits Sterling Lockett for a touchdown. And like, we're just talking about those three plays. Well, he hits on those three. He's at 28 touchdowns last year. That's without really like going through and really finding plays, and just those are his plays off the top of our heads that we're like, oh, he probably would have wanted that back. And imagine his stat line then. Like, that's 28 touchdowns and probably close to 3,000 yards as a first-year starter. So the sky truly is the limit, I think, for Avery.
Yeah. That'll do it for us today. We are back again tomorrow on Friday with KSO Classic. We are going to discuss K-State Syracuse 1997 Fiesta Bowl. Also, a good reminder for everybody to go to cats2ireland.com. Get your last chance opportunities for travel, hospitality, and ticket information and hookups at cats2ireland.com to make sure that you're there for the 2025 Aer Lingus College Football Classic. As Avery Johnson and the Cats kick off their season week zero against Iowa State in Dublin, August 23rd, 2025. For Drew Galloway, I'm Mason Voth. Thanks for watching and listening to the KSO Show.